That was the Stabat Mater, that famous hymn of Jacopone, that Tori that you know in all the languages. I don't know, everywhere in the world I've ever been, everyone sings it with the same mournful tone. Jacopone da Todis, that famous Franciscan of the 14th century, who wrote that hymn, By the Cross or Station Keeping. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're with Radio Veritas. It's Changing Gear. Archbishop William Slattery with you. We have been looking at a number of events, and particularly about devotion to Jesus crucified, which is so essential. Don't let Lent go by without spending some time close to Jesus, and do it before Holy Week begins, and then the Holy Week ceremonies will become alive for you. Because when we Catholics celebrate Holy Week, we are participating again, because the events of the Holy Week are the events of God. What happened in Holy Week to Jesus happened to God. So therefore, it's outside time. We are made present to it when we celebrate it again. You know, when you watch a football match in the in Loftus-Versfeld or the stadium here in Joburg, stadium here in Joburg, you are made present, as it were. You can see it as good as the people at the match itself. So space is sort of removed. Now, when we have in liturgy, in our Catholic liturgy, time is also removed. We are made present to Calvary and to the celebration. So that's why it's so important for us. However, I want to speak about our celebration of 2 days ago, Human Rights Day. You'll remember how President Zuma went to King Williamstown. It was a special occasion, 40 years since the death of Steve Biko. We were also remembering 100 years of the birth of O.R. Tambo down in Cokstad. And Human Rights Day was celebrated all over the country. As a church, as Catholics, we too joined with the people of the nation, all citizens, in praying for our country, in thanking God for our country and for our human rights, which we do have in South Africa. Also, we continue to intercede for our country because we have challenges. We have a long way still to travel. And so many of you join special ceremonies around the country, and we thank God for our country and for human rights eventually emerging in our country. Now, like Jesus, however, our church not only prays and worships and thanks, but it continues to be actively involved in promoting human rights, in promoting the well-being of our people and of our nation. And two events which I was privy in the last few days over Human Rights Day brought out the fact that we Catholics participate very actively in making human rights and human possibilities available to our people. So many people, because of education inability, because of lack of access to education or to money, to jobs and so on, are, even though they have theoretically their human rights, their lives are somewhat diminished by what they do not have. And so two events took place, you know, in our archdiocese, which further underlines the Catholic Church's involvement in building up the quality of life in South Africa. First was, I had a meeting with members of CATCA. Now, CATCA is, and Mrs. Kekana Simelane, for the establishment of a pilot project in part communion with the Department of Health. We were selecting 5 parishes where, you know, this pilot project would get underway to assess and to facilitate better health for our members. Now, it's a common project with the Department of Health of our government, with CATCA, which is the Catholic Church's branch and office dealing with health issues throughout the country. Now, this project will be led by Mrs. Kekana to offer people health in the area of non-communicable diseases. Diseases like blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, cataracts, cholesterol. In other words, assessing these in so many parishes, screening people, because people often are suffering from these. You know, so many people get strokes. So many people die suddenly. So many people have sugar and get into all kinds of terrible difficulties. So many people, older people especially, are almost blinded with cataracts. So many people, you know, have cholesterol and they're not aware of these things that, especially poor people who cannot afford to go and get tested or never remember to go and get tested. We want to take testing to them, screening to them, so that they become aware of their actually health situation and can get treatment and can be referred by this pilot project of Mrs. Kekana, so that, you know, diseases that gradually creep up on us can be eliminated well before they become serious. Now, Mrs. Kekana sees it as an important part of our Catholic vocation to bring health to our people, and especially to the poor who can't afford ongoing testing. She says, a healthy nation is a wealthy nation. She will be looking at the parishes in Haringhua, in Deep Sloot, in Meerhof and Macau over the next few weeks. So, dear parishes, respond to this wonderful opportunity. Go along and meet with Mrs. Kekana and her team so that you are apprised, you're made aware of how your health situation stands and can get treatment now before it gets too late. Mrs. Kekana herself has trained in Praetorian the General and then she did midwifery. She studied in Liverpool in England. She came back and taught at Turfloop at the University of the North. As students, she had Dr. Mutswaledi and Joe Patla. These were her students at one stage. Now, of course, they are the men who are working so hard for the health of our country. She studied midwifery down in Ngome under Sister Rinalda Masciani, the sister who was the visionary of Ngome. So many of you go to Ngome, the grave of the sister who with whom Mary communicated at Ngome is Sister Rinalda. She was a midwife who taught hundreds of nurses from all over the country, but especially in KwaZulu-Natal, for many years. Now, Mrs. Kekana studied under her and she picked up some of the spirit, the commitment that a Catholic should have, like Jesus had, for the health as well as the spiritual welfare of people. She was then director of health services in Limpopo province. So here is a hugely experienced woman, now retired, but committed and wants to go out there and start. So when she comes around to your parish, really and truly welcome her and avail of her facilities. But this is a wonderful way of responding to human rights, is to make sure that people have good health. As I said, she is doing it under the auspices of CATCA. Now, CATCA is a body of the Catholic Church concerned with health care. You know that, you know, the Catholics were the pioneers in health care in so many cities and above all so many rural areas throughout the country, especially through our wonderful nuns and sisters of all these congregations who worked and gave their lives so that you and I should be alive today. So as the hospitals gradually became too expensive to run and as vocations began to lessen, these hospitals were gradually taken over by the government and the provincial authorities. And so in 1988, so that the ethos and the wonderful work of the Catholic tradition in healthcare should continue, in 1988, CATCA was formed as a body of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference, and it was to continue the spirit and work of what had been done in the past. Now, it was especially to serve the poor. It coordinates hospices, orphan projects, home-based care, private health clinics, AIDS, HIV and AIDS, and so on. And so if you're engaged in one of these, because I'm surprised to hear that there are people, Catholic nurses, doing wonderful work and they're not aware of CATCA. It's a reference body. You can contact it again through Kanya House, the Secretariat of the Bishops in Pretoria, and the Secretariat of the Bishops Conference is there, and you can get in contact with them if, for example, you want advice or help or visitation or courses or workshops. Get in contact with CATCA and get to know them. You know, just to give you an example, I'm here in Johannesburg, and of course we know the General Hospital in Johannesburg. You know, Johannesburg basically was, gold was first found there in 1887. That is 130 years ago this year. It became soon a tent city, as prospectors and workers came from all over the country, living in tents in absolutely terrible conditions, as you can imagine, before the city became what it is today. And in that situation, there was a tremendous amount of typhoid and other diseases, injuries in the mines, a tremendous amount of suffering and health problems. And in that time, 1889, the Holy Family Sisters came from France, the Holy Family Sisters, and they established a hospital which grew to become the Johannesburg General Hospital of today. You know, there was nobody to care for all these men, especially men working in these mine situations in this tent city. And so the sisters stay there. They stay there in spite of opposition many times. You know, they had their qualifications came from their home country in France, which were not recognized out here. Yet they did wonderful work in theatre, in hospital care, in Johannesburg. Also, there was a lot of complaints because they were nursing African men. Already we had apartheid in operation there, but they stayed and insisted on doing that work. So this is just one simple example, because I could give you 55 other examples around our countries of where our sisters came and gave their lives caring for people who had no one else to care for. Today, when you talk about healthcare in the Catholic Church, the only word they know is condoms. Whereas, in fact, we have done fantastic work. 900 million rand has come to our hands in order to care for HIV and AIDS people. But, of course, people aren't so interested in that. But anyway, this is an example of human rights in action, and which the Catholic Church is highly involved in. You didn't get many big statements from the Church, but the work is going on, and that is in the healthcare. And now another, the second example I want to give you of us responding to human rights is last Sunday I was at Deep Sloot, at the Catholic Church in Deep Sloot. Father Tlaledi Ramacholo, the parish priest there, invited me to come and meet the community, which was packed. People from all over the country were there together praying, a wonderful fervent community. We blessed the beautiful shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. But then we moved down to the youth centre. We moved down to the youth centre, which is called the Father Louis Blondel Youth Centre. Now, Deep Sloot, as you know, is an absolutely crowded place. You know, 300,000 people is the official figure, but 800,000 people, some say, are living at Deep Sloot. Our church is packed, it's too far by small, but we must try and increase it. But however, in 2009, Father Louis Blondel, a white father, Frenchman, was working in Deep Sloot. And he did tremendous work for the youth and the unemployed. One night, some young people broke into his house and shot him dead in 2009. And after his death, his family and his friends, because he was a man of many, many friends, especially the French community here in Johannesburg, wanted to leave a memorial to, because he had dedicated his life totally to helping young and unemployed people. They wanted to leave a memorial worthy of Father Louis Blondel. And so with the Vincent de Paul, the wonderful group of Vincent de Paul in Bryanston here in Johannesburg, the Vincent de Paul got together with the French community, the White Fathers, the family also in France of Father Louis Blondel, all got together and they built a beautiful hall at the church in a Deep Sloot. Now, this hall really has become a centre, a youth centre. It's situation extension 5 in Deep Sloot near the Mall there, built in honour of Father Blondel. And it is mandated to develop and empower the youth and the Deep Sloot community. Its focus areas are programs that empower the youth and women. The women there got a tremendous handout for their work just before Christmas last year. bringing technology to the Deep Slut community, developing small business, emerging and micro enterprises, offering hot desk space and business support for Deep Slut business, including photocopying and printing facilities, internet access, a business book library, refreshments, business coaching and mentoring. Just some of the statistics, 18 small businesses have been created and developed. Over 2,400 beneficiaries and participants have been empowered. 15 service providers have grown and supported. 55 programs and events have been run. Vegetable tunnels and food gardens have been initiated. It goes on at length. Now, the real inspiration behind this wonderful project is Gail Steiger, a lady from Santon who goes out there continually. It's okay, it's on the Catholic premises. We're very involved in it with the Bryanston, Vincent de Paul. But Gail is the personality really behind it. Her project is called What If, W-O-T, and then if, what if. In other words, it's an invitation to dream about doing something wonderful for the community. And so I say these projects, the health project, the project for the youth and the women in Deep Slut, these are really responding to what human rights are all about and what the Catholic Church is all about. As Mrs. Kekana said, quoting Titus, the book, you know, the letters of St. Paul to Titus, chapter 3, verse 14. This is a verse that inspires her and inspires Katka. It says, "Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives." So that's how St. Paul ends his letter to Titus, chapter 3, verse 14. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they provide for daily necessities themselves, I could add, and not live unproductive lives. So I say, yes, we have celebrated Human Rights Day. We haven't made any big speeches, but I'm giving you two wonderful examples in the last few days through the Health Project and also through the Youth and Women's Project, What If, run by Gail out at Deep Slut, what this is doing for communities having huge impacts. This is human rights, and this is what the Catholic Church has always been doing. Remember, this year in the world, we have 59 million students at our schools and universities. So we really do believe in human rights, even though you will not hear us shouting about them. Let us listen now to our next piece of music, which is Rock of Ages.